thanks very much for joining me, Ian. It's nice of you to take the time.
Yeah, pleasure to be here, Ellie.
Excellent. Having read through your blog post, it inspired a few questions, as always, you know, lots of questions, but, you know, really good. You made some really, really good points, and it just got me thinking. So one of the first things that occurred to me was, do you think that businesses that are remote now, do you think they've considered the changing security requirements of their physical premises?
Well, I think it's varied across businesses. Certainly with some that I have been speaking to, they have found it a bigger challenge than, let's say, their business continuity plan had allowed for. And certainly there are those that have stepped into it quite easily because obviously they've looked at it in an appropriate manner and have covered off all the bases accordingly. But I do find that, you know, it's always one of those things that, you know, what are people actually doing out there? And as we're now getting back into a position of being able to engage with people, it's interesting to hear what they have to say on that and how that, you know, they've taken it forward. Have they really looked at it to see that what they are doing is fit for purpose?
Yeah, because things have changed, haven't they? And you know, massively. So what might have been, you know, absolutely fine before lockdown, you know, if they've got reduced residency or occupancy or, you know, none at all, then are they really taking that into consideration?
Well, indeed. And of course, it's looking at the business, one by one, those that are self-contained have got probably the least challenge, but those that are relying on third-party providers, for example, they've probably got a bigger problem to think about. Because obviously it's not just themselves, it's again getting that assurance from those service providers that they're also able to cope under the current climate.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, you know, for some big places like universities and colleges where you've got multi-site campus and things like that, that must present, it's just so many considerations, just so much to think about.
Indeed, as you say, I mean, something as widespread as a university, multi-sites, multi-points of access, how has that been locked down in itself? You know, how much resource has had to be put in the to achieve that to an acceptable level?
And is it usable? You know, so if you're in a kind of part occupancy phase of, you know, where we are with the pandemic, you know, you might need people to come in occasionally. You know, is the security appropriate for that? And, you know, is it really is it doing what those businesses need it to do, or is it still in kind of lockdown mode because that's the easiest thing to do?
Well, exactly. You know, what sort of role-based responsibilities, what access privileges are in place? Were they adequate before going into this lockdown situation? Have they had to increase that, which in itself can be a problem, you know, because it may need additional resource putting to that to achieve the level of security so that people can have access in a timely and a secure manner.
Yeah, because as you say, you know, life goes on and we're all having to get on with it as best we can. So, you know, making sure that, you know, physical security is still doing what it needs to be doing in an appropriate way is a real challenge. The other thing that I was thinking about was about physical records, you know. So what impact do you think that the continued remote working here we'll have on, you know, not, I'm not thinking so much about confidentiality, but I'm thinking more in data protection terms of the integrity and availability of physical records.
Well, it's always going to be a challenge when you are trying to do this kind of remote working. Again, it boils down to how effectively those assets are being protected in the first instance. But then ultimately, if someone needs to have access, how are they getting that? And if they're going to need to take them to their remote working place, how is that being achieved in a manner appropriate to the data protection? So those sort of procedures need to be robust, effective, but at the same time, making it available in a relatively easy manner, but, you know, being secure at the same time.
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it, it's a challenge, but being available at the point of need, you know, that isn't going to change, is it? And, you know, businesses that are perhaps newly remote may be struggling with that a little bit more than those that have adopted a more agile working practice over a longer period of time. And I see evidence of that, you know, when you look at some social media posts and you can see, you know, individuals talking about their own experience of their work environment having changed. So sort of talking as individuals and saying, you know, well, can't get hold of this, can't get hold of that, you know, having trouble accessing a variety of things. And you think, you know, many businesses, I don't want to say found out, that sounds a little bit disingenuous, but maybe been caught on the hop a little bit with what's happened. And I think those that have probably always done it well will continue to do well. But I think the accessibility and integrity of physical records is always going to be a bit of a challenge in a situation like this. And people are having to be more and more creative, aren't they, within the constraints of what they can do with data protection.
Very much so. As you say, you know, some businesses have demonstrated actually that they've pretty much got it right from the get-go. But those that have been long in their planning, their continuity, resilience, hasn't stood up to the test, and they're having to do some quite quick decision making to get things put in place and to adapt accordingly, making enough resource available. So it's interesting,
very challenging. So again, I'm probably still thinking a little bit more about data protection in terms of physical records now rather than the digital ones that we're all very familiar with. If someone were to ask you, you know, what changes do you think that, or what do you think businesses should be considering in terms of having a better handle on their physical information assets?
Well, it's under, you know, obviously if they've done their setup right, shall we say, in terms of their governance has a full appreciation of what assets they have, where they're held, who controls them. The information asset registers should be providing that as a go-to reference. And ultimately, by having that robustly in place, then the role-based access should afford a system whereby the people get to the information in a timely manner, in an appropriate manner, so that they can carry on business as usual as best they can.
Well, that's great. Ian, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you very much for finding some time for me. And I'll speak to you again soon.
Okay, Elliot. No, my pleasure. Thank you.